interesting scriptures from Romans chapter 5, and I'll be reading the first five verses. I want to talk to you about being justified. It's a most interesting word, and I have it in the New King James for the screen, and it's a good word because when you think about what does it mean to be justified, biblically, it's a very powerful word. But we'll read the five verses together first. Therefore, whenever you see therefore, you got to read it to find out what it's there for, and then you'll know what it's there for. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. I'm not sure all of us are there yet, but we will be. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so, from some notes I put together, when you see the word therefore, actually it means in conclusion. Paul has come to a conclusion that, first off, all are under sin, and we know that from Romans and other places, that we were born with the seed of Adam, and we were born with a sin nature. So that's not a secret to those of us that are believers, and that was who the old nature was, that all are under sin. And number two, that by a response of faith on our parts, we can personally participate in God's provision of forgiveness in Christ. That's really huge. When I or you or I, any of us, obeys the gospel, and as we follow Christ, we come to this place, I am justified by faith. Justified means just as if I never sinned. That's an important word to get down in your spirit. That's a wonderful way to remember it. Justified is just as if I never sinned. That's what the blood of Jesus has done. It's made you as though you never sinned. Now the accuser of the brethren would come and say, oh yes, you did. Remember when you said that yesterday? Yeah, but that's under the blood. I'm moving on. Also means declared to be righteous, to be in right standing with God. Not because of what we did, but because of what he did. And we're justified by faith. It's our faith. We're releasing our faith in the work of the cross. And it's not something that's going to happen in our future. It's something that already happened in our past. So we don't have to look at a future event because it's already happened. And that is a good solid place to release your faith, and something that the Lord has already done. And sometimes we forget that. You know, it's good to look back sometimes and at scriptures like these to see, well, what happened? What, I'm here today because of a result of what happened all those years ago. Peace with God. Verse 2. We know, at least most of us have learned, that before we were saved, God still loved us. But there was no peace between us. In my case, thoughts of God and Jesus aggravated me. I wanted to just get away from all of those religious people, all of you crazy characters in the house. I wouldn't have wanted to be here. And I had no peace. So what do people do that don't have peace down in their spirit? What do? Their behavior reverts the things that they think is going to produce peace. Well, if I drink enough tequila, it'll tequila you. That's why we drank it. That's why they call it tequila. You drink enough of it, it will. Different drugs. You might have done something, maybe nothing like that, but when you didn't have peace, there were ways that you set out in your life to find peace. Because every day you wake up and there's turmoil and chaos all around us, no matter what generation we're living in. And I think about all the kids that are in school now. And think of all that those kids are having to deal with. We've lived our lives and all that stuff. And we've learned that our peace comes through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, living on the inside of each one of us by His Spirit. And we're no more at enmity with the Father. There's no division now between He and us. There's no more separation. We're one with Him, right standing. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus shed at Calvary. So now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through Mohammed, not through Buddha, not through Confucius. Don't confuse us. You know, keep it simple. It's Jesus. That's where our peace really is. And do you know Him? Do you know His peace? That's the question. And if the answer is no, well, you surely will have that opportunity before today is finished. Sin puts the sinner in opposition to God. And because of who Jesus is and what He did, the sin and the opposition it causes can end. Those who are justified by faith enjoy peace with God, completeness, wholeness, harmony. Those are important. People do all kinds of things to try to grasp those things and to take possession of them because they feel like something's lacking, something's missing in their life, but they don't know what it is or who it is. It's like there's something missing. There has to be something more to life than a life without the Lord. There's got to be something more. Wholeness. I never felt wholeness until I understood what I was forgiven from. And I never understood wholeness until I forgave everyone as Christ forgave me. And I still live in that to this day. I don't keep track. I don't keep a record. And I feel whole. It doesn't rip me apart inside of what somebody done to me or said to me. When you forgive somebody, it's over. Now let God deal with them. I'm not their judge. I am not Holy Ghost Jr. But it's a part of me that's complete now. It's a part of me that's whole. I don't get all tore up over stuff and let it just eat me up like some people do because they don't know how else to do it. Harmony. Being harmony is being... When I think of harmony, I think of sometimes the way people sing. They sing together and their voices make a beautiful melody. Harmony is a sense of togetherness, of oneness. And now we're like that with our Heavenly Father. There's a oneness there that's been established through Christ and us coming to Him. And I am justified. And so are you if you're in Christ. And one good result is this peace. The next one, access by faith into His grace. We read about all these things in the Scriptures, but until we release our faith and say, wow, He did that for me. Wow, He provided that for me. And I'm not an intellectual approach to the Scriptures. I don't try to figure out how everything works. I don't know if any of you do that. I just got to know every detail, how this works, before I understand it. No, I don't. I don't. That's a waste of time. If God started it, it's got to be perfect. End of story. I don't have to figure it all out. Whatever He said is true. Whatever He said is honest. Whatever He said is of a good report. And those are wonderful reminders to us that we're to have that same mindset. To think on those things. When you want to get all worried about who's going to be the next president or who's going to be the next mayor of your town or the next town manager or how you're going to pay your fuel bills, all that stuff, If you belong to Christ, do you not know how much more that God cares for you? If he cares for the sparrows, if he cares for the birds, how much more will he care for you and take care of you? But you've got to take that by faith, believing that it's true. Because it is. And when you do that, you will come to realize that every promise that God made is yes and amen in Christ. You're never going to get a no. If a promise that God made concerns you being in Christ, his word says, in Christ, it's yes and amen. And that's really good. Let's see. When you read the word here in Romans 5, imagine a beautiful room, a place of great blessing. So let's just use our room. Let's use this room, okay? And in this room, it is a room filled with great blessing. Not only are we here having many of us received God's blessing in our lives, but what about when you put us all together in a room in one place? This room in this building has been a room of blessing ever since. We've been here the first people that came here because this is where we meet with the Lord. This is our meeting house. It's not a church. You're the church. Don't mix up the building. Okay, this is just where we meet. And we don't destroy it. We honor it and take care of it. But the fact of the matter is when we all come together, this is a house of God's blessing. It's a house of his favor. It's a house of his anointing. It's a house of his love, not only for you, but for all of us together, loving each other. It sounds like a dream. It sounds like a fairy tale. But it isn't. It's real. And in this beautiful room, call this place the room of God's favor. I was just thinking about this the other day, actually yesterday, and I weren't sure how I was going to put all my thoughts together. It takes a week for me to sometimes, I just start writing stuff down and I don't really connect it until it gets nearer today. And I thought about this room. And call this place the room of God's favor. Outside of this room, you are alienated. Now, when I talk about the room, I'm talking about salvation too, where believers gather. But outside of this room, or outside of God's presence, outside of salvation, we're alienated, lost, and destined for wrath. But inside this room, you are surrounded by God's favor. It's really talking about the kingdom of heaven. Not Jehovah Witness kind of kingdom of heaven, because we're all witnesses for Jehovah. We tell everybody who Jesus is and how he saved us. That's the best witness you could ever have. And so his favor is established. How can one who was sinned gain access into this room? By faith. By faith we have entered. Though you have sinned, by an active faith in the gospel of Christ, you can move into this great location, the room of God's favor. This room where we sit is just it's like an image, but it's part of the kingdom of God, where God's people are. That's where the kingdom is. It's wherever you go. His kingdom is within you, Jesus said. And you rule and reign as kings and priests in his kingdom. Did you ever call yourself prince or king, or princess, or prince of your existence in your home and in your life, because that's who Jesus says we are. That's awesome. It's amazing when you stop and meditate on five verses of Scripture, the things that come to the surface. All right, let's see. What else? You can move into this great location, the room of God's favor, but though peace and access are great needs and abundant gifts from God, there's more. There's more. I always like the more. Amen. You ready for more or you want to wait for more? What's your preference? You ready? Sure. All righty. We also glory in tribulations. We'll put that one over there. No, we're not going to do that. To the world, this sounds not just strange, but absurd and abnormal. Can anyone go through tribulation, pain, anguish, hardship, persecution, and glory at the same time. It's not that we glory for it, but we give God the glory during it, that he's going to deliver us out of all of these things. Because that's why the deliverer came. He is our deliverer. It doesn't mean that we don't go through hard times. You all can have your own testimonies about the times that you've gone through great stress and duress and came under pressure, and a lot of things happened that you knew clearly weren't the will of God, and an assault and an attack spiritually came upon you. Maybe not just on yourself, but on your family as a unit. Things happen. But to the Christian, when we experience those things, our attitude is completely different. Because we've learned how to let God work those things out. And he will. But if you want to take care of it all on your own, then you're going to have bloody knuckles and sore joints and striving and stressing and just grasping at stuff and trying to make something happen. Instead of just, well, I'm in this fix, and I just know that ultimately God's going to work that out. And by faith and knowing that he will, it doesn't mean that we don't have those hard times. But to the world, they come apart. But we don't have to. And that's the thing about when troubles come to us as believers. Even James, the book of James, chapter 1, about falling into a pit, basically. But it said during that time, let patience have its perfect work. Do you know that God gave you patience? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's on the inside of you. Already you have it. So when troubles come, put patience to work. Let patience have her perfect work, as James said. You don't have to do the work. Let what God gave you do the work. That's why he gave it to you. All right, so let's see, where else are we? The idea, which stated in these terms, seems to raise immediate objection. Paul affirms those justified by faith can do this. A loss of a loved one, that produces great, a time of sorrow and sadness for the loss of someone that you were very close to, you were very dear with, it pulls at your heartstrings. And grieving is a normal process of healing. But don't go so far as to allow a spirit of grief to come upon you and entrap you for years and hold you back. Let the Lord bring healing. But to the unsaved, they don't have those things. And they suffer far greater because they don't know how. They don't know what to do. We have the capacity to endure trouble because we know something. Or we know someone. For those who live by faith, tribulation produces perseverance, endurance, not giving up. Don't roll over and play dead. There's another day to be lived. You may have a down moment, but don't let it last all day. I don't ever have a bad day. I have a few bad moments in a day, but I never have a bad day because I just won't allow it. And you don't have to either. The only reason that I allow it even for a minute is because it produces self-pity and loathing. And I want to have a pity party. But I've decided that I'm not going to let it last long enough to have a party. You can do the same. Perseverance in a hostile environment could be a work environment. We've heard some of your testimonies about the troubles and hard times you had at work with working with people that aren't of the same spirit. But you know, faith affords the faithful the strength to develop character. You don't have to bow and buckle under because you can't get along with someone. The idea is, but there's a spiritual confrontation. The enemy is warring against your spirit, which is of Christ. I mean, even Jesse, you've talked about that, the battle that you experience particularly overseas. And what you're seeing is what's manifest and what Paul is talking about right here in these verses of Scripture. Is how do we handle it? How does the Christian rise above that stuff? Well, number one, it's because we already are. We're already above it. It tries to attach itself to us, but spiritually, in Christ, we're from a position of looking down on it rather than giving in to it. And we press on and we press in and we don't give up and we don't give in. We weather the storms of life because we can, because we're in Christ and empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit. How do we know this? The Holy Spirit. He gives us revelation. He gives us knowledge. He gives us insights. He makes a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. He puts rivers in deserts. He makes the crooked places straight. He takes the low places and makes them high, or he makes the high places low. Why? So that you can walk the walk that we're called to walk. It's a wonderful life. That's why Faith likes that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, huh, Faith? When you're saved, it is a wonderful life. Do we endure things? Yep, we sure do. But that's the thing. We got to learn to let them fall aside. It's the Holy Spirit. We have these blessings by faith, and we know that hope will have a good end, because our hope is not in the things of this world. Our hope is in the Lord. And it's a good end because a loving God has communicated to us. And now here's this other part. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's really important, because when you realize, when you put your hope in the Lord, we've already got the down payment. He's given us the Holy Spirit. That's the proof, that's the evidence that you can put your hope in the living God. And when Peter said, being brought back to a living hope, here, it's like hope was lost at the crucifixion in the natural. And they found him. They went to the grave and they saw the grave closed, but until they really saw him again alive, Peter was one of them. And he had that hope again, but he said it's in a living hope, the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's the other witness. That's the other thing. So you put your hope in a resurrected Christ. You can go to all the great leaders and philosophers all over the world, and they were great at what they taught, great at what they spoke, but they all died. And their remains are still there. Jesus is not. He's not there. He's there. And he's in here by the Spirit. And that's why you have a living hope, because God has put that inside of us. His love has been shed abroad in our hearts. And when we've been doing this teaching on agape love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this goes, it's very compatible with the love of God, because he's proved it over and over and over again by what he's already done. You're justified. Brand new. Like you never existed before, because you didn't spiritually. So now, you should be rejoicing for huggy break time.
I shared this before, a long time ago. But probably some that are here wouldn't know this. To show what difference it makes with a Christian being in a workplace, when 9/11 happened, the day of 9/11, when I worked second shift, so I never went to work until, well, I got to work at 3 o'clock. And I had a good friend. He's still a friend of mine on Facebook. And we got along really great at work. But this guy, he, one of his best, one of his best people to admire was drug-induced Ozzy Osbourne. And he always wore T-shirts with Satan on them. And he followed Ozzy Osbourne and went to his where he toured around the country and all this other stuff. And this guy came up to me when I got to work, because obviously 9/11 affected everybody that morning. And he and a lot of people that I worked with knew that I was a Christian. And he came up to me and thought it would be a wonderful idea if it was okay with the boss if I spoke to people in the area about what had happened. And here's a guy who basically, whether he did or not, but in actions, he worshiped the devil. And yet he asked me to say, if I could say a word to people about what happened. And so that was in the, before our supper time lunch break at 6:30. So, we went to the boss and he said, well, I'll give you 15 minutes after lunch break. And so all the time before lunch break, I even called Lori at home and I told her to pray for me and that I'd have wisdom as to what I'm going to tell these people. And so after lunch break, we all gathered. There's 23 people in the area. And here I am. They all gathered around me, and I spoke for 15 minutes as to the importance of what had happened and how important it is to know Jesus, because we don't know when that moment will come when we step over heaven's threshold. And I was nervous about it, but God gave me the grace to speak and speak what I did. And it was just an incredible feeling knowing that I shared something about the gospel and at that point in time. So the difference of being in the workplace and being a Christian and those of us, those people around that are not, we can have an awful, immense impact on them whether we realize it or not. Amen.
Thank you. That's one way to get in to preach. The Holy Ghost drags him up here. It is important. But you could have said, nah, I don't like your t-shirt. You know, that's not where I'm at in my walk. And I don't want to do that. But see, there's something greater inside of us as believers. We have something. We have something of great value. And people are getting squeezed now. I mean, you can see it all around us. I mean, so are all of us, many ways. But we have the advantage. God has given us the advantage, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to get through some tough times. It costs us for fuel oil. It costs us for electricity. It costs us more for gas in our cars too. You know, we're not exempt from those things. We have a heavenly bank account. But, you know, there's not a pipeline with fuel oil coming through it. We got oil. We got oil in our lamps. And we mustn't ever forget that. But, you know, we're going to walk through a lot of stuff with our neighbors, with our fellow townspeople, with our town businesses. I was quite shocked the other day when one of our local stores, five people decided, I don't know whether they schemed it up or not, but they just took off, five employees, and he had to close his store early. What do you think about the small businesses in your town? Do people don't care anymore? Just let them go? I'd rather find things in town than to go out of town and do business and support our local communities. But Christians should think like that. You know, it's like an extra measure. And be thankful for the people that are working, because I don't know how many get thanked for being there. But it's a good place to start to show that we love them and that we care about them. And we're talking about workplace situations, then there's home, then there's relationships in the body of Christ. But this love, it's a good thing. And we really need to learn together to walk more in it and not let our hearts get hardened. Because if we start looking around and we start getting bitter about stuff, we really got to guard our hearts and keep love as the banner. I always like that about the full gospel businessmen. The banner over us is love. Let that be our banner. And I know it's not easy sometimes. I get rubbed the wrong way too. I'm just, you know, we're all alike in that regard. But this is helpful. I'm glad we're only doing this once a week. I need 6 days to get out of what I just spoke. You know, because it convicts me too. But if people, if Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The world knows, obviously, that they just seem to sense that we don't love them. They think that we're better than they are. We're better off, but we're not better. And they need, society needs us. We're a preservative. We're the salt of the earth. Jesus said that. We're a light. And we're salt. But the thing that's going to make the difference is we can go through the same troubles that they do. It's just that we don't let that stuff get down on the inside of us and mess us all up so that we don't know what we're doing either. And they need people like the Ozzy Osbourne fan. He saw stability and strength in your life, even though you may not have had the chance to preach to everybody at work. But there's something different about us, and people will gravitate toward us in a time of need. Now, their motives may be wrong, but if our motive is to love them, to share the hope of the gospel with them, that's a whole different game right there. And that's really what God is after with us. We're here as examples, even in our communities, to make a difference. But if this is so important that a whole chapter is written about it, and the whole Bible is filled with the love of God, there must be something to it, and it must be really important. And God has enabled us to learn it and to walk it out through the power of the Spirit. So, bless you, and may the Lord help you to guard these words that you heard today.